Chapter 42, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 1777. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. Dr. DeStooge visited Lady Seymour each morning and eve. She could nod her head yes and shake it no to his questions. Yes, she knew who she was. No, she had no sensation in her feet nor her hands. She could barely chew milk-soaked bread and sip broth. Her mind had not gone soft, though. Her eyes blazed bright in her skull and followed me as I moved around the room, and when the doctor and madam talked, she listened in right close. Plainly said, she was as much a prisoner in her broken body as Corzin was in his cell. Madam Seamstress came near as frequent as the doctor. The birthday ball gown had a scarlet-red underskirt topped with a short gown of royal navy blue, embroidered with gold. The hairdresser and madam spent hours consulting prints of fashionable ladies in Paris so that they could design a suitable hairstyle. I was not privy to the details, but I heard madam talking about jewels made of paste that would sit in her curls. She also wanted a small British flag to fly atop her locks, but the hairdresser talked her out of it. Hannah and Mary talked about the ball every waking minute. I'm sure even the Queen herself would have grown tired of hearing about it. At noon, the guns at the battery, which the British had taken to calling Fort George, would fire a royal salute. An hour later, the warships in the harbor would blast a response. At 6 o'clock, the guests would arrive at the ball, with trumpets playing and drums beating a welcome. The dancing would last until midnight, when the fireworks would explode over the harbor. After that, the banquet would begin. There was no way under heaven that Madame would survive 6 hours of dancing without having something to eat. I finished reading Common Sense the night before the ball. The bookseller was right. The words were dangerous, every one of them. I ought to throw it in the fire, but could not bring myself to do it. Mr. Payne knew how to stir up the pot. He went right after the king and attacked the crown on his head. I laid down one long road of a sentence in my rememory. For all men being originally equals, no one by birth could have a right to set up his own family in perpetual preference to all others forever. Way I saw it, Mr. Payne was saying all people were the same, that no one deserved a crown or was born to be higher than another. That's why America could make its own freedom. 'Twas a wonder the book did not explode into flames in my hands. I buried it back in its hidey hole and laid myself down to sleep. My eyes would not close. My thoughts were churned up like muddy water with dangerous eels thrashing through it. If the entire nation could seek its freedom, why not a girl? And if a girl was to seek her freedom, how could she do such a fool-headed thing, especially a girl trapped in New York? Best thing would be to break into the desk of a British commander, steal a pass, and forge her name and his name on it. And act free. And pigs were likely to fly too. Plus, that girl seeking freedom would have to walk. She could walk the mile from Wall Street to the north edge of the city, but then she'd run into the guards stationed there. She'd have to sneak past them and not get shot. Then she'd have 11 miles of running to the north edge of the island. If she took the Greenwich Road or the Post Road, she'd likely be captured by one in need of a slave or in need of the reward paid for a healthy runaway. If she stuck to the woods that ran up the center of the island, she could be ate by a bear or drowned in a swamp. If angels guided her safe through the woods and she made the north edge, she'd have to get past the guards watching over King's Bridge when New York Island touched the rest of America. I rolled over, my back to the fire. That girl could more likely grab hold of the feet of a passing crow and bid him fly her to safety. Better yet, sprout her own wings. The only path left was across the water. A girl like that could not swim and did not own a boat. Not to mention the river currents were fast and the crossing would be noted by someone who would raise a ruckus, and then the soldiers would line up like a firing squad and shoot that girl dead in the water. They wouldn't even bury her proper. Just let the water take the boat and the body, and both would be consumed by sea monsters. I fell asleep cursing them that planted the city of New York on an island.